Yeah, let's go. Okay. So what I want to do is I want to continue our current collection of talks that we're in right now, and we're calling it, look at this, no hands now, no hands available. So we're in this series right now. We're in this series called Created for Community. We'll conclude this next week. So if you have a Bible this morning, I want to encourage you, if you don't have a Bible, there's one in the pew rack right in front of you. Take the Bible. And if we would please open to our go-to text for this series. It's been the same each week. There's so much in there. We just couldn't just give it one week to do justice. So let's go to Acts chapter 2 today. Acts chapter 2, we're going to look at verses 42 through 47. It's right there in your Bible. But if not, Heather's going to come and she's going to read it. And why don't we do this? Can we do one last time, stand together for the reading of God's word? So Heather's going to read this for you. Thank you.
Acts 2, 42 through 47. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. Sorry, and each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved.
Sorry. All right, that's okay. This is what I want before we're seated. I need four volunteers, four people that are going to come and stand by me for a few minutes. And by the way, here's the criteria. You won't say a word. You'll just stand up here and be by me. So can I get four people to do this? Four people. Just come up and stand by me. Heather and Nolan. Look at this. Okay. This is good. This is what? How many are we up to? Yeah, that's four. My math. Why don't we actually add Nolan and Heather to the repertoire here? Because I want to make a point. So everybody else, actually, I want three on my left and three on my right. And actually, I had this illustration planned out to have a cordless mic. So this is going to be very challenging today, okay? Well, we'll see how this works out. You're going to hold it, but I'm going to tell you what. By the way, volunteers, please do not be seated until I let you know, okay? There's going to be times where you're going to want to be seated. Don't be seated yet. I'll let you know. But everybody else at this time can be seated, okay? So in this series, what we've been doing, just hang with me, be cool. You guys are good-looking folks. Just have fun. We've been focusing on this, the why. The why for this series is, why is Christian community so important? Better yet, why is it important that we surround ourselves with other Christ followers, okay? By the way, I want you to get the verbiage here very clearly. I'm not just talking about hanging out with other people. I'm talking about why it's important to hang out with other Christ followers, okay? Because a lot of people would say, well, I hang out with other people. Yeah, that's great, and I'm all into that. I just want to let you know, I believe that we should have unbelieving friends. I'm all on board with that. I have unbelieving friends, some of the most precious people in my life, okay? But there is a time where you need these people in your life that have the same mindset, meaning that you're following Jesus together, okay? And we've been asking, why is this important? And in this whole series, we've been saying it's important because this is often the vehicle that God uses to grow our faith. So the fact I want to make clear in this series is the fact is this, that we grow when we're in community, okay? So my community needs to come in closer to me. How many people know I'm going to grow as a person in Christ when I've got other people that I'm in community with? So I want everybody to see this. Six people who are all on the same journey. We're following Jesus together. We have the same desire. I need other people in my life to go on a journey with. Why? Because it's God's vehicle for growth in my life. I want everyone to see that, okay? So I want to make this clear. The Christian life is never meant to be lived or cultivated in solitude. So Randy, hold the mic. But what needs to happen is I need to be in community with we're going to call it today, well, I don't want to jump ahead. We have a name for it. But I want everyone to see this. This is how Mike grows. This is how you grow. This is how we all grow. We have a community that we're in doing life together. And that's how God's plan is, not for me to be in seclusion. Danger when you're in seclusion. Not a good idea, not a good plan, but a very good idea for me to be hanging out with these people, doing life together. Hold on, don't leave yet, okay? So anyway, today what I want to do, that was the first reason I gave you, and today I want to introduce a second reason why Christian community is so big, and that is simply this. Every single person, every single Christian needs a support system, okay? And better yet, I want to word that more powerful. Every one of us needs a spiritual support system. Are you hearing me this morning? If we're going to continue living victorious, I need these three on my right. I need these three on my left. We need a spiritual support system. I should never be off on my own. There's no such thing as Lone Ranger Christianity. Actually, there's this big idea, false idea going on in the world today. Well, I don't need another believer to be a Christian. Well, you don't need other people to become a Christian, but after you do become a Christian, you need community. I need everyone here. These are going to be the people that are going to be in me with me on my spiritual support system. So let's give these folks a hand. Aren't they good looking? You can be seated. All right. So I want you to see that, because sometimes I think if you see something visually, it might help out. So why do we need a spiritual support system? Because we need a group of people who are going to provide us the spiritual support. They're going to provide us the encouragement that we need to continue to grow. See, Christianity is not a one and done thing. You became a Christian, now go do your own thing. Now God wants you to grow. God wants you to become more and more like his son, Jesus. And in order for that to happen is you need this spiritual support system. That's why I think so often the enemy's trying to do everything he can to get us out of community. Everything to get us out of community. But I'm here today to sell you on the fact that we need community, that we need one another for support, for encouragement, especially when those times come of difficulty, seasons of difficulty, seasons where you get discouraged. So don't raise your hand to this question this morning, because I just assume that everybody could answer and raise their hands. Have you ever experienced difficult times? Have you ever experienced seasons in your life where you've been discouraged and you've been a little beat up, a little bruised? And see, what happens, it's in those times that I need this spiritual support system in my life. Because I tell you what, there's times when we all want to give up. And there's times where we're tempted to quit. And it's time where we want to get out of the army of God, for example. But that's when you need your spiritual support system. So this is the second reason why Christian community is so, so, so important, okay? So what does Christian community look like? Well, we've been doing this study of Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47, and we've been looking at a couple of different ingredients that make up this Christian community. For example, we see that the first week that they were people who were devoted. So this group of believers were devoted. They were all in. And we see that they were all in, and they were all into the apostles' teaching. They were all into fellowship. They were all into sharing meals together. They were all into prayer, corporate prayer. By the way, we will be praying together again corporately at the end of the service. And then last week we looked at this. We saw the second reason why about community, the second ingredient is this, that these were very, very generous people, meaning they were sharing their belongings with each other. They were sharing everything they had with one another. They were sharing their lawnmowers together. They were sharing their snow blowers together. They were sharing their grill together. Everyone didn't go out and buy their own, but they would go and they would borrow, or they would share together. Okay? So let me ask you this question. Did you stretch that muscle of generosity this week? Did you stretch that muscle? And remember last week I made it very clear, generosity is not just about your money. Yes, it does include your money, but we know that it also includes things like our time, our talent, different ways that we can be generous. I was thinking about it the other day, David and Carmen Covarrubias. David and Carmen. What a generous, generous family. I thought about it. We have a single mother in our church, and the single mother has four children, and the single mother doesn't have transportation. How many times have I seen David and Carmen picking up these four kids and bringing them to church on Sunday morning? How many times have I heard that they have taken them to appointments, to a grocery store, to a place of need? That's what Christian community is all about. That's what generosity it's all about. Yes, it includes money, but there's so many times it will just take your time. You see a need, and you know that you can help meet that need. We need to get involved with each other. We need to be generous. So what I want to do today is I want to look at a third quality that makes up Christian community. So I want to go back. If you still have your Bible open, great. If not, just look at the screen. This is a third ingredient to Christian community that I think is real important. And I'm going to be very transparent here with you for the next few minutes. And I want to say this. I almost bypassed this message because I didn't want to preach this message as though I was angry, as though I was upset. I wanted to preach this message with a loving heart. So today I want you to receive this word with love this morning because you have a pastor that cares for you. Is everybody in agreement this morning? So I want to look at this third ingredient together, and it's in Acts chapter 2, verse 46. It talks about this early church, and it says this about the early church is that they worshiped together at the temple. And look at these two highlighted words. Everybody say those words together each day. And they met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and they shared their meals with great joy, and they shared their meals with great generosity. Okay? So the third ingredient for community that I want to share with you this morning, this is a word that I made up. I didn't make up. It's really a word. But this is how I interpret the passage, okay? And that is the third ingredient. Everybody want to say that together? One, two, three. Frequency. Frequency. So the third ingredient that makes up Christian community is this idea of frequency. Frequency. So what is frequency? Well, it's the rate in which something occurs. It's the rate in which something occurs. So if you look back to the text, and the text is our guideline this morning, we see that these first century believers, they met together how often? Every day. Every day. Every day they were coming together and they were meeting with their community. Every day they were coming together and they were meeting, you could say, with their spiritual support system. They met every day, every day. And I know some of you are saying, well, that ain't ever going to happen. And I understand that. So you might be saying, are you suggesting that we meet together every day? And my answer to you is no. And everybody say, oh, thank God. No, that's my answer. See, we need to understand that in the days when this text was written back in the first century, it was totally different. The times were different. The culture was very different than the culture we live in today. We need to understand that they had fewer options than we have today. Their life was so much simpler than our life today. So I'm not going to stand here and suggest that we get together every day. Come on, you guys, let's man up, let's girl up. We got to get together every day. So what am I suggesting? I'm simply suggesting this, and I just want everybody to hear my heart this morning. I'm simply suggesting that we prioritize a time each week when we meet together to be with our community. I'm simply suggesting that we make a time each week where we get together with our spiritual support system. These six people that were up with me, I need to meet with those people. Those people need to be in my life frequently. They need to be a part of who I am frequently. I need those people in my life, okay? And if you look at throughout church history indicates to us that Sunday morning has basically been the time for the church to get together. It used to be Saturday. They used to debate, is the Sabbath Saturday or is the Sabbath Sunday? Well, that's not really the issue. The bigger issue is getting together once a week where you say, hey, I'm going to be with my family. Hey, I'm going to be with my community. Hey, I'm going to be with my spiritual support system, because it's very dangerous if I step out of that and step away from that. The outcome may not be good for me as I desire to grow in my relationship with Christ. So we have chosen Sunday. By the way, last night I was listening to a church service online, And in the announcement part of their service, they got up and said, hey, we're starting something new. And I was just, I didn't know what it was going to be. And they said, hey, starting June, I think it was 7th, whatever, we're going to start a Monday night service. And then they went on to explain why they were starting a Monday night service, because they know that we're living in a culture today where especially young families really covet, they really make a great priority in the weekend being about family or about the cabin or about all the other things. So this church has decided, yes, we're going to continue to do Saturday night. Yes, we're going to continue to do Sunday morning a couple times. But this church has decided that, hey, for all those people that go to the cabin on the weekend and all those people that do all these other things on the weekend, why don't you come out on Monday nights at 7 o'clock because we believe that people need Jesus. I thought that was a very clever idea. How about you? Some of you are like, no, I don't like that idea. And they said, hey, we're going to have a full service. But I think more than anything, their heart is that they know that people need community. They know that people, we can't get away from this whole support system. We need the support of one another. It's very important as we desire to grow that we have this. So once a week. Yet here's the deal. I'm going to be very transparent with you. In our culture today, and I'm not talking to our church, I'm talking about our culture as a whole. We're talking about the landscape of America, okay? I'm not talking about you guys. You're the exception. And the fact is you're here today. You guys are awesome. So let's talk about other people who aren't here today, okay? Does that sound good? Just to ease the pain a little, okay? So anyway, what's happening in our culture today, and they've done a lot of different research. Research is indicating that people are meeting and coming together less and less frequently. And by the way, they're not talking about unchurched people. They're talking about people who say, yes, I'm committed to the local church. They're talking about people who say, yeah, I love my church. That's where I go and I love it there. But what they're finding out, even in that group of people, they're finding out that on average, people attend church in an 8-week period. People are finding church, coming to church 3 times every 8 weeks. That's what they're finding out. 3 times every 8 weeks. So this week I did the math. 8 weeks times 7 days equals what? Come on, step out in faith with your math. Everybody say 56. That's the math, 56. So think about this. People are getting together with their spiritual community, their spiritual support system, 3 times every 2 months. So you just, what does that mean to you? I'm not going to draw any conclusions. What do you think the outcome is going to be? People are coming to church now three times every 2 months. Think about that. So here's the question that they're asking across America, not just in all churches of all sizes, all different denominations. It's not just one denomination. It's all denominations that are discovering this. They're asking this question. Why are people meeting less frequently? You guys got quiet all of a sudden. Well, the question would have been, who's your favorite team? Then we could talk for 30 seconds. Go. No, okay. So here we go. This is where we're going to allow you guys to participate. And here's the ground rules of participation. I'll do the preaching, okay? You do the answering. So try to limit your answer to about 3 or 4 words. So by the raising of hands, did anybody come up with any reasons why they think people are meeting less frequently? 3 or 4 words. Tony. Priorities. Okay, let's just go. Fear of judgment. Is church a judgmental place? It shouldn't be. Say, Mike, you're judging us today for not. No. Yes. Lack of commitment. Val. Ooh, come on now. The church isn't relevant. How many people honestly have heard that before? The church isn't relevant. Or better yet, or I should say worse yet, how many people have heard this? The Bible is not real. I tell you what, when I hear that, I just want to scream. Because if there's a book that's relevant for the day, it is the Word of God. Amen? I tell you what, if we would live by the Word, it would be amazing the impact, positive impact it would have on our lives. So, but we hear people all the time, the Bible's not relevant. The Bible's not relevant. It's outdated. I'll go to my grave telling those people, you're wrong. The Bible's for us today. Amen. How many, any other answers? Yes. We're not filled with all. Yes. Let's keep going. Yes. Rich, that you've taken one of my answers. Actually, there's been a couple of my answers I've already been taking in my sermon notes, but I'm going to talk about them anyway. Yes, Natalie. Options. Early church in Jerusalem didn't have many options. The church in America in 2019, how many people know we're loaded? We're loaded with options. They're everywhere. Anybody else? Jana? Selfishness. So you guys are very smart people. So let's give each other a round of applause this morning. So anyway, there's a guy named Kerry Newhoff. He runs this church leadership podcast out of Canada. They're getting millions and millions of listeners. He's one of my favorite. I listen to Kerry Newhoff almost weekly on my walk. It's about a 45-minute podcast. And he's out of Canada, like I said, and he came up with 10 different reasons. We're not going to touch on all of them. We're actually going to touch on maybe four. He said number one reason why people are less and less frequent to come to church is, and I think it's right on, is the simple fact that there's greater affluence today in our culture, greater affluence. And what happens, he says, is more money equals more options. When you have more money, you have more options to do things. And he said one of the biggest options now is people are traveling like they've never traveled in the history of America. And I can remember that. I remember growing up in the 70s, we rarely ever left the region of Dayton, Ohio. Now you know why my life was so boring. But nowadays, people don't think twice about getting in a vehicle. People don't think twice about getting on an airplane. Greater affluence means you have greater options. You can do a lot of things. You can do a lot of things when you have money in your pocket. It reminded me of a funny story this week as I thought back to when I was growing up. It was in the 70s. We were attending this Spirit-filled Baptist church. And I remember frequently there was this family that every Sunday morning in the summer, not every Sunday morning, but a high majority of Sunday mornings in the summer, they would come into church with their pickup truck pulling their boat. Meaning that after church, we were going to go water skiing. And I thought about that this week. I said, I love that family. Yeah, they wanted to go and have a great time, but they also knew the priority of God's house. So after church, they would all run into the bathroom, and then they would all come out of the bathroom transformed. Because that was in the day when you wore what? Your Sunday best. So you had a tie, you had a dress, but these people would run out with shorts and flip-flops, and they would all, and they, she would have a cooler, and they would head off to the lake. Why? To water ski. But I thought it was so cool that even amongst their affluency, they made the house of God a priority. And let me say it again this morning, I am not mad. I'm not mad. I'm you guys' biggest fans. You know that? I'm just preaching statistics here today. Okay? Here's another one. A reason why there's just this less and less frequency in God's house, and that is there's just a higher focus today on kids' activities. That's what Kerry Newhoff says. I'm not sure if I believe it or not, but Kerry said it, so I'm just communicating it. I do believe it, by the way. Higher focus on kids' activities. A growing number of kids are just involved in so many things. And a lot of them are doing things that, playing sports, different activities that occur on Sundays. That's what Kerry has to say. So, and then a lot of these people are joining teams that play and travel required on the weekend. So there's this affluency there. And Rich, here's yours, number three, online options. I should be clicking these as I go. Greater affluence, higher focus on activities, online options. See, many churches have created a social media presence. Does anybody know of a church that has a social media presence? And many podcasts, their messages, many actually today, and I can think of two churches in the Twin City right now that you could stay at home and they'll have the full service right there for you, right there, somebody even greeting you in your family, in your home. And see, there's pros and cons to this online church, but I want to let you know, even if you're against it, it's here to stay. We're not going to change it because we're upset. It's here to stay. And actually, it's doing a lot of good. It's reaching people overseas in the military that don't have, it's reaching shut-ins. It has a lot of great things. But here's what we need to understand, that church is more than just a sermon. Amen? Church is about us getting together during, that's why one of my favorite parts of the service is breakout, because I love to see you folks interacting. That shows me that you're kind of doing to a level, you're doing life together. You like each other. And actually, I was thinking about it this morning, because I've already preached this sermon once this morning at 7 a.m. here to an empty room. And as I was just going through this message prayerfully, you know what one of my greatest prayers for this church is? Does anybody want to know? Somebody say, please tell me. Okay. It's not real spiritual. One of my greatest desires for this church is that we'll be a group of people that like one another. That we have friends here. Because there's going to be days when you don't care about what songs are sung. And there's going to be days here that you don't care even a little what Pastor Mike has to say. But I always want this one ingredient to be common, that I've got friends there. And if nothing else, I'm going to get up and go see that friend. And then through seeing the friend, yeah, we'll worship the Lord and we'll listen to the word, which I put high priority on. But I want us to be a church that we like each other. So yes, you can do the online option, but you'll be missing out on friends. And then there's a whole bunch of other ones. And here's really where it comes down to. He said all he mentioned nine. He said really everything, and he put this as number 10 on his list, is the fact that in our culture today in America, there's a massive culture shift going on. I'm not sure how many people are aware of the massive culture shift that's going on spiritually. But since this is my livelihood, I give it a lot of attention. I read a lot about it. I hear a lot about it. And the fear is that we're becoming Europe. You know what's happening in Europe? People don't attend church anymore. In Europe, people really don't even know if there is a God. They don't know the fact that you can have a relationship with God through Christ. And so what's happening is there's this, in Europe for years, there's been this coldness. Not everywhere, but in certain places in Europe, but Europe as a whole. And there's a great fear that this is coming to America, that it's already coming. It's already here. That there's this this massive culture shift that's going on in America today. So I'm here today, and I just want to praise you in a good way and say, you know what? I just really commend you folks for saying we're going to make the house of God a priority. Can you hear my heart this morning? I believe in the gathering of the family of God, and I will till the day I die. And we can't allow what's going on in the culture to impact what's going on in the church, but it's happened. How many people know it should be the church impacting the culture of the world? Amen? And what we're seeing is we're seeing the world impacting the church. Church, it's time to rise up and take our rightful place. And we should be the ones who are making the difference. Because we have Jesus, amen? We have the message of the hope of the world that changes lives and transforms marriages. So I just want to encourage us. I just want to encourage you, don't give up. Keep coming. Amen? And I just want to applaud you this morning. If I didn't have a microphone in my hand, I would applaud you. And if I could jump, I'm too old to jump, I would jump, okay? But I just want to say kudos to all of you for being in the house of the Lord, okay? So there's this shift in culture where the frequency is less and less and less, but I want to let you know this is nothing new. It's nothing new. You said, well, we read in the book of Acts where they were meeting together every day. Well, if you continue to read the New Testament, you're going to see that what we're talking about today was happening back then. So if you have your Bibles, and don't turn there because it's only one verse, I want to read to you a verse from the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, and some of you already know the context. It's Hebrews 10:25, where the writer to the Hebrews was saying this. He said, hey, folks. And he's talking to believers. He's saying, hey, let us not neglect our meeting together. Then he kind of points some people out, as some people do. That's the first half of the verse. I want to stop there because there's context that you need to understand. Why were people neglecting their meeting together? Because this time in history, the church was being persecuted. People were actually being persecuted for being Christians. Can you imagine that? People's lives were being taken. People were being, a lot of negative things were happening. So as a result of being persecuted, meaning when I went to church and when I was with other believers, now I was being connected with the body of Jesus. Now I'm going to be persecuted. And as a result, many people were getting very, very discouraged. Like, is this even worth it? What is this even worth it for me to keep on going? And look at what the writer says in conclusion. He says, don't let us neglect our meeting together as some people do. But he says, here's the result, but encourage one another. He's saying what we need to do when we come and we're getting beat up and we're discouraged, church should be a place where you come to be encouraged. And the root there for encouraged is courage. There should be, we should be speaking words of courage to one another. Have you ever been at the place where you want to give up? Have you ever been at the place where you want to quit? Church should be the place where you come to receive courage from God's word, from God's people, so that you want to keep going, so you want to keep fighting, so you don't give up, so you don't end up over there like I did at the beginning by yourself, and then there's your support unit. No, you need to come to be encouraged. So I just want to encourage you with the word encouragement. I want to encourage you that this should be a place where we're continually building one another up, giving each other words of courage, saying, hey, keep on fighting the fight. Because I want to say this in closing. Here's what I've experienced several times in ministry. And that's probably about a period of about 30 years. I've discovered that people get discouraged for several reasons. Several reasons. Maybe it's a broken relationship with a spouse, with a family member, a child, a whatever, a brother, a sister. There's people that get discouraged maybe about their financial picture. There's people that get discouraged about their health. While I'm sick, what's this all about? I never thought I would be in this condition physically. People get discouraged about their job situation. Maybe they got laid off. Maybe they got dismissed. And there's a lot of reasons why people get discouraged. As I said earlier, that's just kind of a part of life. I'm a very optimistic person, but I'm also positive that there's going to be times when you're going to get a little discouraged. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. Am I the only one who faces discouragement sometime? Anyone else? Things didn't work out. And here's what happens a lot of times when people get discouraged. This is what I've seen in a group of people, and that is, here's what they often do. They stop coming to church. The very place that we should be running to, they run from. Remember when I was up here with all six? There's power in all six of seven of us. But when I get discouraged and I start having, and I've had these before, they're called pity parties. And I remove myself from my community, my support system, and I'm over here. How many people know over there by myself is not a good place to be? There's a lady who wrote a wonderful book that's just hot, hot, red hot on the Christian market right now. Her name is Lisa Turkoich. Turkoich. What's the name of the book? It's Not Supposed to Be This Way. And she talks about how she went through cancer. She talks about how her husband cheated on her. She talks about all these extensive troubles that she went through. And in one of the chapters in the book, one of the primary chapters of the book, she talks about, be sure that when you're going through these seasons, you don't seclude yourself. Because I want to let you know there's a real enemy for your soul. And the real enemy for your soul loves when you're going through troubling times that you discommunicate yourself from other believers. Are you hearing me? And when you're going through those times, what do you need? You need a group of people who know what they believe, the Bible. And they give you good biblical advice, good biblical direction. Sometimes I hear the direction that people give hurting people, and I'm thinking, ugh, that's not the right direction. That's not God direction. Folks, in those times, we need God direction. Amen? Amen. And Lisa says that's danger. Danger when you're on an island by yourself, but we need to come and we need to engage with community all the more. But the opposite happens. We go through tough times. Well, life didn't work out. I thought this would happen with my kids. That didn't work out. I thought my marriage would look like this. Well, it's not working like that. And we have these dreams. It's not supposed to be this way. And so we pull away. and we get mad at God. God, how could you let this happen? God, how could, aren't you the all-powerful God? Couldn't you do something different here? God, how could you make this happen? And the enemy just loves to feed those thoughts. And that's why we need this spiritual support system that's offered to us in community. In community, this should be the healthiest place. And that's why I'm saying, hey, Christian community is where we need to be. Are you hearing me this morning? So as I close this morning, I want to challenge you. Don't pull away. But in those times, press into community. Press in for support. Press in for encouragement. Don't listen to the enemy. Nobody cares. God doesn't care. There's people who don't care. I'm here to say God cares immensely. That's why it says in 1 Peter 5:7, cast all of your cares upon me because I care for you. That's why Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. And I just want to encourage us, let's build community in this place where there's frequency. Frequency. Where we know one another, where we care for one another, where we're there for one another. So what I want to do in closing this morning is I want you just to, you can just remain seated, just close your eyes for a second, maybe a minute. And here's what I want you to do, and I want you to listen to this very carefully. If you're by somebody you feel comfortable with, I want you to make a physical contact by joining a hand. If not, don't worry about it. Let's just pray. Let's not make this an awkward moment. Let's make this a God moment. If you're here today and you're experiencing discouragement, it wasn't supposed to be this way. You're facing struggle or maybe some level of disappointment or hurt. What I want you to do right now is I just want you to squeeze your neighbor's hand. Just squeeze their hand right now. That would be, we're not going to point you out. We're not going to make you stand up. We would never embarrass you. I'll try not to embarrass you here. But we are a support system. So right now, if somebody squeezed your hand, we're going to pray for all those hand squeezers. Can we do that together right now? So Father, I just pray for those who right now are in a season, maybe where there's discouragement, something happened with their child that wasn't supposed to work this way, or a marriage, or a struggle, or disappointment, a loss of a job, a loss of whatever. God, you know everything about each and every person. And Lord, if there's a person here today that had the courage to squeeze another hand, and even if they didn't, God, I pray, God, for them right now. I pray, God, that faith would begin to rise up in them. And God, I pray that encouragement would begin to come back and hope would be restored. And God, that they would just begin to see you as a good father for who you are. You are a good, good father. So Lord, I just pray, Lord, for everyone that's going through these seasons and they need the church to be the church. May we truly be that place for everyone that's hurting. And Lord, we just pray that you'd be at work in this body. In Jesus' name. And everyone together said, amen. Amen.